Welcome into UGA Football Live with JC Shelton, where the dogs come to talk. Hey everyone, welcome in UGA Football Live with JC Shelton and former Georgia tight end Arthur Lynch, co-host, analyst, barber, he's everything. He joins me and alongside all SEC's all-time leading passer as well, Aaron Murray, from former Georgia star quarterback. Aaron, Arthur, thanks for joining us, guys. Aaron, me and you saw each other a couple times last week. It was a great time for TPL Georgia. We had a little tailgate situation on Friday. Got a chance to get up there and talk. It was maybe negative 20 degrees with the wind chill. I was absolutely shivering the entire time. I was like, everybody's going to notice I'm over here like that just from how cold it was. I was the only person up there with a t-shirt. But that was a great time. We had Jackson Muschamp up there as well, giving us some ins and outs. And you got to call the game on Saturday for SEC Network. How was that, first off, little experience? I know had some interviews with Kirby Smart there. And then it looked like you had a little handshake with Carson Beck as well. And then calling the game. Got a good look at those quarterbacks as well. How was that experience for you for SEC Network?
Yeah, it was fun. I've had the opportunity to cover Georgia a few times in my career. Once, I mean, maybe twice with CBS. And then once with ESPN a year ago. But as we know, like G-Day is such a different atmosphere, a lot more relaxed, even for Georgia standards, a little bit more relaxed. I know it was a pretty competitive scrimmage, but, you know, the chance to, you know, call the game partly in the booth and then go on the field for the third quarter and call the game kind of from behind the quarterback, get to interview Kirby during the whole thing and get this, you know, see the guys up close and personal. And it's just such a different perspective being there from the vantage point of like the quarterback compared to being up in the booth, you know, got the juices flowing a little bit, which was exciting. But man, like I used to think Arthur was big. These damn guys nowadays are just giants compared to when we were playing Arthur. Holy smokes.
Yeah. It's pretty like there's the evolution, like human evolution aspect to it. Mm-hmm. Like JC, we've talked about it, just like Kirby's ability to recruit, but there's like the depth and the guys up front. Like we would always have, when we were at Georgia, maybe one or two guys, maybe three on the offensive side of the ball, offensive line. Like, you know, with 1 year, I think in 2011, we had like the Ben Jones, the Bean, Cordy Glenn. But Kirby just goes and recruits like 8 Cordy Glenns at a time, 10 Cordy Glenns at a time. And then on the defensive side of the ball, from an interior perspective, it's the same way, right? And like you look at the tight ends they have, even the tight ends are like, they got like 3 or 4 dudes, maybe not right now because some guys are injured here or there, but like they just got dudes that are just built, you know what I mean? And I think, you know, obviously strength and conditioning, nutrition, all that stuff, but there's just something, I always say Christian Robinson, who's a friend of ours, Aaron, like when he was coaching at the Mississippi schools, he'd be like, you'd just be a Mississippi Delta, you would just see like NFL bodies walking down the street. And yeah. I think what Kirby has done very well, obviously, is and what Saban did for years, is just like find those NFL bodies and develop them, but they don't grow on trees.
And that's what they said too, because I remember I was Bobo. I was like, Bobo, like I know my freshman year we had Cordy and Ben and you know, some Bean. Of those guys. We had like being like we had one of the bigger offensive lines in college football, but then after that it felt like we got smaller. I was like, you know, was it just kids weren't as big in those couple of recruiting classes? Did we recruit smaller? And, you know, his message was Kirby's mindset is just a little bit different with the way he recruits. You know, some guys recruit athletes and then try to beef them up when they get on campus. Kirby would rather get big guys and then improve their athleticism once they get there. So he would rather take a guy that's, you know, 350 pounds, lean him up to 330 and make him a little bit of a better athlete than trying to do it the other way around where you have to put weight on guys. And every offensive lineman seemed like they were 6'5 to 6'8. Some of the defenders were just Michael on the outside looks like an avatar. You know, I met with him on Friday, shook his hand, and he like almost broke my hand. And then seeing him in person and the scrimmage, I'm like, it looked like an NFL team. I mean, it honestly may even look bigger than some NFL teams.
Yeah. And I got a chance to see that as well. It was my first time on the sideline representing TPL Georgia, which was awesome for us as a team. And then me, especially getting that opportunity, really appreciated that. And I came away with the same thing, guys, just like how big these guys were. And you said it there, Aaron, that Kirby Smart recruits those big guys and gets them down, because freshman Nair Daniels on the offensive line, he came in at 6'7", 396. He's down 45 pounds per Kirby Smart. We don't have the scale, but per Kirby Smart. Open up real quick with a little news, and we'll get into quarterbacks from Aaron Murray, who to do it better. Andrew Paul, redshirt sophomore running back, entered the transfer portal. We are recording on Monday, so just an hour ago or so, he announced on Instagram. He was really, to me, the second best running back at G-Day, because Trevor Etienne did some great stuff. Man, he looks like a stud, both sides as a catcher and a rusher. But then Andrew Paul had some burst. He broke off a couple of big runs here. He brought 25 yards, 17-yard rushes, 4 carries for 41 yards. That's a great average. What do you guys think about that? You know, Kirby Smart talked about the portal. They asked him about the portal in the media press conference after the game, and he didn't want to share anything. Said he doesn't know. He says those guys know what they're going to do, but he doesn't. What are the first thoughts on Andrew Paul leaving there?
Well, I mean, listen, it makes sense. I mean, it's a deep running back room. I thought the running back position to me was one that I was going to keep an eye on for the game, and I thought ETN looked phenomenal. I mean, I was like, wow, like the quickness, the ability to catch the ball in the backfield. Obviously, you know, Roderick looked great too with his size. Like, you can kind of envision those two being like the 1-2 punch. And then obviously, you know, you get Branson back in the fall. You know, like, those are going to be your starting three. And not saying like Andrew Paul's not going to have an opportunity to get in there, obviously, but like, you know, stable running backs is great. But when you're number four, you know, just limited touches, especially when you look around and you see Carson back and the receivers and kind of what this offense is going to do. It's going to be very balanced, and it may even be a little bit more pass heavy than it is run heavy. So already limited runs and kind of a 55-45 type offense. And you're number three or four in the depth chart. Just not a lot of love to go around. So just part of the world we live in nowadays.
Yeah. I think to kind of piggyback off what Aaron is saying too, these guys, I know it's transfer portal, and some people kind of they play the ransom game. Like, if you don't give me this, I'm entering a transfer portal. But at the end of the day, also, a lot of these guys are pretty smart. They see the writing on the wall. They're in meetings every single day. They're in practice every single day. They understand who's getting the reps. And, you know, like, you could have a sensational G-Day, right? But it's just one spring scrimmage, right? It's really, at the end of the day, it's super important for development. But my guess is he looked at the spring practice like as a whole. He saw ETN coming and crush it probably all spring. Saw guys coming up the depth chart from being injured to now healthy, and he's just like, you know, I have dreams of probably playing in the next level. The likelihood of me being able to set myself apart in this particular group with the offense that we have, with the team that we've been built here, it's like probably limited. I'm going to take advantage of the portal. Not for maybe more money, but for like a better opportunity elsewhere. And that's what the portal is supposed to be for, you know, at its core, right? So that's kind of how I viewed it. But at the same time, you know what I mean? It never helps losing a solid player. But I think UGA's running back room will be fine because, again, back to the main point, Kirby knows how to recruit dudes and get them in there to compete.
Yeah, absolutely. And the portal officially opens tomorrow, lasts to the 30th. SEC players cannot transfer within the conference, though, so keep that in mind. They'll have to go somewhere else. Moving on to the quarterbacks here, Aaron, give you a little take. I want to see what you think of what I'm thinking. Carson, Kirby Smart earlier in the spring said we held him back a little bit in 23, the earlier the season. You know, he wanted to go let the cat play, quotation marks, on that, right? I know it's a spring game, you know, he can do what he wants out there. He leads the offense, can navigate a pocket and what have you. And there's a lot of younger receivers and transfer guys that they need to get acclimated, right? Get some timing. So I think that might have been the reason for the 46 attempts Carson had, right? To get some camaraderie there. But he definitely did not hold back, especially in the deep ball, right? He didn't check it down as much, I don't think, as we've seen in games, right? When he's on fall Saturdays. But I think overall, the way that he was able to work with Dominic Lovett and Colby Young, really use their strengths as pass catchers. You know, Colby's that huge guy. It's another guy we were talking about, big bodies. I was on the sideline just like, wow, like he is a tight end right there. And he can move too, right? And then Dominic, that we've heard about that connection this spring from reports and also hearing from Dominic Lovett, as well as Carson Beck and Kirby Smart on how good they've been together. And of course, he led all the receivers Yak, right? Great receiver in that standpoint as well. And that last catch behind the back from Carson right there, I think that shows you that connection they have. I think he's your go-to.
Yeah, no, I was really impressed with the receivers. You know, I know a lot of people heading into the game as one of our big storylines we hit on the broadcast was, you know, everyone's going to focus so much on, you know, Brock Bowers is gone and Ladd McConkey's gone and Rosemary Jack Saint's gone. And, you know, what's going to happen to this Georgia offense? What are they going to look like on the outside? And, you know, I've been waiting for Georgia to have consistency, health, depth at the skill position. You know, it's felt like since, I don't know, like 2012, since we've had it, you know, even 13, we had a bunch of good receivers, but then everyone tore their ACLs. Malcolm tore his ACL. Michael Bennett tore his ACL. You know, we were playing with like walk-ons and third and fourth stringers by the end of the season. So, you know, it just seems since then, like Georgia hasn't had a lot of consistency there. Even when they had George Pickens, you know, hell, he was suspended or injured all the time. So like, we just haven't had that luck on the outside. And then the offense then all of a sudden shifted to being like around Brock Bowers. Like that was the focal point. And I know you could kind of be described as a, you know, as somewhat of a receiver, but I was hoping last year would finally be the year. Rah-rah, Dom, McConkey, like this receiving core is going to allow us to really push the ball vertically on the field. And just once again, health and new guys just didn't allow that to happen. But, you know, year two, Dom, like you said, JC, all accounts has really taken his game to another level, understands the offense better. Same thing with Rah-Rah. I think Colby's going to continue to play more into the offense, but he's definitely a situational play right now. Third down, red zone is going to be his specialty until he digests everything. But also you have to look at it too. You've one of the most gifted quarterbacks throwing the football, I would say, in Georgia history this year, heading into his second season. So you couple that with more experienced receivers, this should be one of the better passing attacks that Georgia's had in quite some time.
Absolutely. And I love what Sakobe White brought to the table, Nitro Tuggle. I think it's important to get those guys really involved because, like you mentioned it there, Aaron, the health issues that we've had a receiver, it's mostly bad luck. I mean, that's how football can be, right? And you know, we face that each year, it seems like. And you go back to the Brock Bowers situation, and that I think it deserves to be a big storyline, but also it's important to keep in mind that you don't have to make all that up with one player. And, right, having this group of receivers, I love what Lawson Lucky did. That's your man, Artie, right? Arthur, yeah. This guy after the catch is really impressive, right? Because Oscar's your typical guy, I think. I love to see him really grow as a receiver this year, but Lawson after the catch is pretty dangerous. I don't want to compare him to Brock because that's not fair, but to me, that's what I saw.
Yeah, Aaron mentioned 2012, and when you think about where this offense is today, like, you know, not to toot Aaron's horn, but this is probably the first time, you know, like they have quarterback figured out, right? Like, I know they had a quarterback figured out with Stetson, I guess like 2 years ago going to the second national championship, but like, and I love Stetson, hell of a dude, build a statue for him. But like Carson, like Aaron said, is like a legitimate, you know, top 15 first round talent. Mm-hmm. And when you are a guy who plays under center, who has that much natural talent and has proved it the way he proved it the year before, it just puts your entire offense on a different level from a confidence perspective, because young guys around him, or maybe less proven guys around him who have the talent to be kind of difference makers from a weapons perspective, know they can lean on the quarterback, right? Like we had so many young guys in really 11, 12, and 13 that they could rely on Aaron to A, know what he's doing, put them in the right position, and then make the throw that needs to be made. And when you're a little bit uncertain about the guy under center, which I think a lot of people were about Carson, they knew he had the talent, but could he go and really take the next step and be an elite player? Now he's an elite player, right? Mm-hmm. He's moving across the country. He came back for another year because he wants to win a national championship. I think the guys around him see that. And I think guys like Lawson Lucky will be able to step up. Is he going to be Brock Bowers, two-time Mackey Award winner? Maybe not. But could it be a draft pick in, you know, a year or two whenever he's eligible? Yeah, because all the guys here who are at Georgia were recruited here for a purpose, and they all have elite talent. But I think when you have an elite, proven quarterback, man, the sky's the limit. I think that's what Carson is.
And I'll say this, like, you know, Georgia's had some great quarterbacks over the past, you know, for a while, but over the past 15 years, you know, I'll throw myself into there, Jake Fromm, you know, people may say, like, oh, Justin Fields was on the roster for that year. Obviously Stetson, Carson is the most gifted thrower that Georgia's had on the roster since Stafford. Georgia has not had, obviously, you know, Justin was there for a year, but Justin's still a different type of quarterback. Carson is in my mind, the first legitimate NFL quarterback on a Georgia roster since Stafford. I mean, like, listen, I'm 6'1" on a good day, good arm, smart, hardworking. But we know, we've been in NFL locker rooms. You've been in NFL locker room. Like those NFL guys, especially those quarterbacks that you know are going to have a long career, they're just built a little bit differently. And Carson's built like that. So, you know, I had this fun discussion last night with Ben Jones and Noshon because someone asked us, like, you know, rank your, some in the chat, like, you know, rank your you know, top Georgia players of all time. You know, and we kind of did just the offense. And I made the statement that, like, if Carson wins a national championship this year, Carson may go down as of, you know, 2024, 2025, the greatest Georgia quarterback of all time.
Yeah.
Because he is a first round talent. If Georgia wins a natty, it's going to be because of him. He'll be in the Heisman conversation. He'll end up probably being a top five pick in the NFL draft so that he's on Stafford's level there with talent and NFL.
Yeah.
And then you throw a national championship on top of it. I mean, he's going to be in some rare air there.
And, you know, just to throw Aaron another bone here, well, in 2020, like height of COVID, I was in Vail visiting a friend, and JT Daniels had just transferred. It was like that summer to Georgia. I think Carson was like either a redshirt freshman or an incoming freshman. And I was with a bunch of like Georgia buddies, Georgia fans, and they were just like, oh, JT, who's going to be the quarterback? No one was talking about Stetson. And I texted Murray. I was like, well, let's text Murray. Like, he's around the butt still. And Aaron said, he was like, I don't know who's going to be the starting quarterback week one, because I think Dwayne Mathis was still there. But he was like, yeah, I will tell you this right now. The best thrower of the football is this kid, Carson Beck. Mm-hmm. And that was in 2020 summer, right? Yeah. And Aaron – and I was like, really? And he was like, 100%, dude. He was like, he's probably not going to play this year. He might not play for a couple years. But he's like, the best – thrower of the football and naturally gifted quarterback that they have on the roster is Carson Beck.
Yep. He is.
Aaron, quick one on you. I know we already covered a lot of Beck. And it just made me think when you compared him to Stafford, you said he was the best since Stafford. How much do you think, and I could be off here, is that due to the arm angle in which they throw? Because Carson Beck and Matthew Stafford, to me, just, and I don't know what I'm looking at like you do, but they have really similar, that side release can change different angles. And were you more of an over the top?
No, I mean, I think all great quarterbacks have it. I mean, I could throw sidearm, I could throw over the top. I just think like it just pops out their hand a little bit differently.
Yeah.
You know, it comes out a little bit more effortless. Their body, I mean, they're just bigger kids too, you know, bigger dudes too. You know, Stafford is thick, not like fat, but like Stafford's well built and like really strong lower half. Like Stafford's got some big old calves. Carson, really well built, strong legs, strong upper body. I mean, he's just a really well-built quarterback where you look at him like, man, that guy's going to look really – like he'll do the combine. You do the little walk in your underwear in front of all the coaches. People are going to look at him and be like, damn, that's an NFL quarterback. 6'4", 225, 230, built really well. And he just uses his body really well to throw the football. It's just – it's smooth release, everything you want.
Yeah.
When you see a guy – sorry, go ahead, JC.
I was going to ask about Gunnar Stockton, but if you're still on Beck, go ahead, man.
No, the one way I can describe it as a bystander, someone who's seen a lot of football but was not a thrower of the football, when you see an arm like that, it's like watching a major league like cleanup power hitter take BP, right? The ball just like comes off the bat a little bit differently than like Derek Jeter. Like Derek Jeter's a Hall of Famer, one of the greatest hitters of all time. But then you watch like, I don't know, Gary Sheffield or David Ortiz take BP and the ball is just like, it like jumps out of the stadium, right? When you see an arm like Carson Beck's or Matt Stafford's or Aaron Rodgers, like the 1% of the 1%, you're like, it just doesn't look normal compared to even like a Brady's arm. You know what I mean? Because you're just like, it's so unique and so gifted. And so I think that's when Aaron talks about like, the potential here, I think Carson just has he's got a gifted arm. There's really no other way to put it.
No other way to put it.
Very Heisman gifted. Hopeful. Yes, sir. Heisman hopeful. Probably the number one draft pick. Calling it now. Yeah. Aaron, what'd you see from Stockton, man? Because, you know, injuries happen. We just talked about receivers, right? Mm-hmm. And then with Puklisi out, who had, you know, he has a load of talent. Georgia's coaches, the teammates of his that are new in Athens, man, they love what they saw from him when he first got in, right? So we thought there'd be a real chance for him to push Stockton if he could learn the offense. But now Stockton even has a bigger jump on him from Puglisi missing the spring. So what'd you see from him and his performance?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. You really only had two, and we go back to Carson having, 46 throws in the game. I think a lot had to do with the fact that you only had two scholarship quarterbacks playing in the game, you know, and one of them you had to get reps, and that's Gunner. You know, Gunner, you never want to see a guy get injured, and obviously we you know, everyone, Georgia fan faithful, really hoping that Carson, you know, stays healthy the entire season, but you got to get number two guy ready just in case, because this is a really talented team. This is a true national championship contending team. And you don't have a lot of depth at quarterback. And that's kind of today's era too. I mean, look at Ohio State, for goodness sakes. Like, they just came out and said that, hey, they're not even naming a starting quarterback. And part of me feels like that maybe the reason for that is, you know, they don't want their perceived number two guy to leave, because then if he leaves, the backup's a true freshman. Mm-hmm. So like, there's all these games that these coaches are playing, especially at quarterback position, because there's only one of them and there's only one that's going to play, to try to create depth on that spot. But it's just hard to do. You know, like Bobo and Kirby both told me, like, we want four scholarship quarterbacks. Right now we have three and one of them's hurt. Like, that's not where we want to be. But in today's world, it's hard to get a guy that's going to come in there and say, yeah, I'll be a third or fourth string guy as a scholarship that's good enough to be at Georgia. Yeah. So
how do they remedy that?
What's that?
How do they remedy that? Do they stagger guys? Do they, if you want four guys, you try to get one a year? Like, how does that work?
I don't know. I think it's almost impossible to get four.
We did ask Kirby about that in the post-game conference. You know, he wasn't too happy about the question, but he did get into the quarterback situation and confirmed they want four. What they usually like is they like four scholarships and one really good walk-on. They have the one good walk-on that they like. Coulter Ginn is going to join the team in the summer. You know, they had, and I think it's clear that George is going to go to the transfer portal. They have this many days. Usually the quarterbacks who enter this through the spring window, they use that. They know they're going to be backups. You know, they're fine with that, right? I think Georgia tries to add somebody. They tried to add somebody in the winter window in the UNLV transfer, right? Committed for a day, then he went to USC. So I think that's a clear option for them. I mean, it's really the only thing they could do, right? To get
I think the way they sell it to whoever they – if they do end up going this route, and I don't know if they will or they not, but I think the way you sell it is obviously Carson's gone after this year. Mm-hmm. And after that, it's we don't have anyone else that's played a game, really. I mean, what, Gunner played a little bit in the bowl game. Obviously Puglisi's a true freshman that was banged up most of spring. I think you go to, you know, a guy that's played, or maybe a highly recruited guy that just hasn't, you know, made it to the top of the depth chart, and you say, listen, Carson leaves. We like these other two guys, but they haven't played. So like, we technically don't know. Like, you have to be a salesman. But I just think next year you run into a problem of Carson's gone. Gunner may only play some backup snaps this year. And then Puglisi's the only other guy you have on the roster. Obviously, they'll bring in another kid in the recruiting rankings too, but there's just not a lot of starting experience. And that's a little bit of a dangerous spot, especially at the quarterback position, not to have that right now.
Absolutely. Artie, you got anything on that?
No, I just think I think it kind of comes down to this new almost position that these teams have from a personnel standpoint, or not personnel standpoint, but a coaching staff standpoint. Roster, it's like roster management is huge, right? And that's why I was asking Aaron if they like had a remedy for it. Is it, we're going to recruit, you know, a five-star guy every 3 years and like a scholarship guy every year, or like, because the transfer portal, and particularly for quarterback, because you can have three running backs on a roster and all three can go to the NFL, but quarterback is a unique, I mean, Aaron and Mettenberger came in at the same time and they battled it out, right? And next thing you know, 2 years later, two of the best quarterback performances I've ever seen in Sanford Stadium were Aaron Murray versus LSU and Mettenberger, right? It's it's a tough position, but I do think if you don't have, we got very lucky with Hudson Mason, who was a hell of a quarterback and very smart and was a great backup and had one great year as a starter. But I don't know how many guys have the temperament of Hudson to just wait 4 years. You know what I mean?
Especially today, there where you don't have to wait. Absolutely. You can just pick up and leave and go somewhere else. So I think you just keep bringing in as many as you can.
Yeah.
And I think for Kirby, and luckily for Kirby, if you needed a quarterback in the portal, whether it's the first window or the second window, you'll have close to first dibs. Mm-hmm. Like, I guarantee if they didn't get a quarterback this year, Carson goes on to have a hell of a season when the portal opens up in December and, you know, Kirby's like, we need to get more competition for spring ball. He'll have first pick for mm-hmm. whatever quarterback's out there.
Yeah. And the other option, and I'll end it with this, Aaron, because I know you got to go. Recruiting wise, just throw it out there. They are pushing hard for Juju Lewis still. You know, ended up committing to USC. He's taken so many visits to Georgia and he continues to. So there's a real chance. Just think about the proximity and how far USC has to travel to get to him, how far the opposite way, right? And Georgia's right in his backyard. You know, Kirby Smart, what he did with KJ Bolden in recruiting him all throughout high school. And that flip from FSU to Georgia on early national signing day was kind of like, duh, right? And then in the 25 class, they already have the number one quarterback in that class. He's also a Georgia guy. You know, I think they hold on to him. So they are pushing hard recruiting wise, but I think they have to add one in the spring.
Nobody from Carrollton, Georgia is going to USC, dude.
I don't know. I could see them not going just because I know they like Puglisi. I know they like Gunner. Obviously, they love Carson. You know, unless you truly don't feel like Gunner could be the guy if something happened to Carson, I just don't think you go reaching in the portal just to get another body. Mm. You know, I think you, if there's someone you like, then yeah, then get them. Like if there's someone that you think that could be a guy that could compete next spring, then you bring him in and give him a fall under his belt. But I don't think he just wants to get a body just to get a body, you know, because he does want to get those other guys as many reps as possible. And then you just get another body in the portal in December.
Yeah. Well, we'll have an answer to that by April 30th. So we're definitely going to be looking forward to that and see what happens on it. But guys, Artie, thanks for joining. Aaron, of course, as always, we love having you on to hear that talk about QBs. Just no one does it better, man. If you're listening, wherever you get your podcast or watching on the Pulse Sports Network, we appreciate it. And check out TPL Georgia. We got some great stuff and we're building as we go along as well. So keep tabs on us during the off season. As always, guys, go Dawgs. We appreciate you.